I don't think it escaped anybody's attention what yesterday was all about. 20 years later, I'm presuming all of you who were alive then can remember exactly where you were and what you were doing when the Trade Towers were struck, when the Pentagon was hit, and when United 93 went down in a field in Pennsylvania. For me, it's one of those things that actually clarifies in my mind how significant events can be remembered with clarity decades after it happens. And of course, loving the Bible so much, it gives me hope to understand how it is that gospel accounts could still be accurate years afterwards because of the significance of an event. Surely meeting Jesus and his teachings were equally as significant in the lives of those apostles as experiencing 9/11 was for me and for you. We remember it clearly. And we are reminded to never forget it. And so in the spirit of never forgetting what took place 20 years ago and one day ago, I wanted to draw on three lessons that I think we can take from 9/11. And I want to start with this. It may seem obvious, but sometimes we need to start with the obvious. And that is that the first lesson from 9/11 that we can take away is that evil exists. There seems to be a movement in our society that says we're all generally good people. There seems to be a movement in our society to try to move away from the notion of absolute evil and to say that that doesn't exist. But when you look at the catastrophic events of 9/11, the purposeful, targeted murder of thousands of innocent civilians, that really makes you question whether our modern thoughts are right. You look at the events that took place, and you just know that those terrorists were hoping for even more death and destruction. The planes weren't even half full. More people they could have killed. The Trade Towers, which can handle more than 50,000 people, had they fallen quickly, surely the body count would have gone up. While they rejoiced in their victory, they must have been lamenting that they didn't kill more people. Such is the nature of evil. And so when we see it on such a grand scale, it becomes easier for us to accept that simple truth, that evil does exist. But what I have found is that when you examine catastrophic events, you often find some very revealing details. To that end, if you look at the state of our nation in the immediate aftermath of that, you saw collective rage crying out for revenge. You saw people calling for the immediate use of force, going on in to the Middle East and assaulting all who may have been in favor of what took place. There were even some saying, let's just nuke the whole place, turn all that sand into glass, and be done with it. There was a collective rage in the hearts of America, wanting justice, wanting revenge. There was a great evil event that took place, but it revealed in our hearts the truth behind Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Because he said that it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or a sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. There was a grand act of evil, but it revealed in our own hearts not holiness, but sinfulness. as we desire to take that action that the Lord declares is His alone to take. If we were to stand before God immediately in the wake of 9/11, standing in the spotlight of His perfect, searing holiness, what would it have revealed about the level of evil in our own hearts? You see, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God because the heart of man is not inherently good, but because the heart of man is inherently evil. And unless our hearts have been transformed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we remain at odds with God, dead in our sin, dead in our trespasses. But praise God that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It is true that the wage of sin is death. The evil in our hearts says that we earn that fate. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. 9/11 revealed that there is evil in the world, and it revealed our need to get right with God. Which leads me to lesson number two. Tomorrow may not arrive. So we need to get right with God now. When they woke up on that fateful morning of September 11th, the hijackers that morning knew that they would not go to sleep again, that was their last day on earth. But I can say with a good level of confidence that all others who would perish that day woke up that morning fully expecting to go about their day with whatever the day would bring, return to their beds that night, and wake up on September the 12th to do whatever September the 12th held for them. It didn't occur to them that their lives would end that day. And I don't know what their faith lives were like, but if we just assume that it was similar to the broad cross-section of America, chances are that most of the people who would die that day would declare themselves believers in God, and the majority of those would call themselves Christians. But again, if they are similar to a cross-section of today, chances are that many of them would not immediately agree that they were disciples of Christ, followers of Jesus, submitting to Him as their Lord. They would admit that. Many of them might be thinking, I've got time to make that final step, to submit wholly to God. And unfortunately for us, or fortunately, it's hard to say that a passage of Scripture is unfortunate, but there is this passage captured in Luke's Gospel at the cross. And one of the thieves dying next to Jesus asks for His forgiveness. And Jesus grants him that. It is a deathbed conversion, if you will, proving that what Christ wants is our hearts, and it doesn't depend on our actions. We just need to give ourselves fully and completely to Him. But that thief knew that he was going to die. He was not going to walk away from that cross experience. And he knew he had very limited time to get right with God. And he made the most of it. There seems to be this idea, though, that when you submit to the Lordship of Christ, that there's no more fun in your life. I've got a friend here on the island who loves to have his idea of fun. And as I've talked to him about Christ, what he has told me is, I plan on accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior somewhere between the moment when the front tire of my motorcycle hits the back fender of the truck in front of me and when my head hits it. That's playing it kind of close. In fact, if your plan for salvation hinges on a deathbed conversion, that's not a very good strategy, because you don't ever know when your last moment will be. If we reflect on the deaths that occurred that day, the reality is that most of the people that would die had some inkling at least a few minutes before their death took place. If you start with those who were hijacked, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was on a plane that got hijacked, that's an instant mortality consideration event. I'm immediately thinking I'm gonna die. Now, they may have believed the hijackers when they said, we're just going back to the airport, up till that final moment when the plane slammed into the towers or to the Pentagon, killing everybody instantly. But I would have been thinking about my death and wondering, am I right with God? For those people that were on the floors above where the towers were hit, where their escape routes were cut off, and the flames were rising up, they had moments, minutes, to consider their impending death, an opportunity to consider whether or not they were right with God. I pray that they figured that out quickly and did what they needed to do. The hundreds of first responders who flooded into the building. Well, it's part of the mindset of a first responder to be understanding that you could die any day anyway. So on one hand, you kind of take it for granted. But to see the horrific scene that they came into, perhaps as they were racing up those stairs, perhaps in the last moments before the building collapsed upon them, it occurred to them that they might need to get right with God. But then there were those that had no chance. They were taking a breath one moment, anticipating the rest of the day, and the next moment, they were gone. And when they left this world in whatever condition their relationship was with God is what it would be eternally. No opportunity to change it. If they weren't right with God at that moment, they never will be. We need to take opportunities when we have them to get right with God. If you're not right with God today and your plan is to wait a few minutes, wait a couple of more days, get a few more years of fun under your life, what you're telling God is, I don't want to honor you with my life. I want to be Lord of my own life. And just come squeaking in through the gates, maybe little singe marks on my backside because I've timed it just right. That is arrogant and unwise. That's not the sort of thing that God honors. So if you won't honor him with your life now, don't expect him to honor you with the eternal life to come. You got to get right with God. And if you hear his voice calling to you today, seize that moment today. But the third lesson that I want to leave you with from 9/11 comes from knowing that when you are right with God, you can face anything the world throws at you. Our reading today, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three men who were so right with God that they could stand in the face of evil and hold on firmly to the foundation of a righteous and holy God. And when they had a king demanding to be worshipped as if he were a god, they recognized the evil in that and said, King, we can't do it. And if you intend to throw us into the fire, so be it. And if we are to die in that fire, that's okay, because we love God and we serve him and we stand by him because he stands by us. So rooted in their faith, so right with God that it didn't matter what they were threatened with. They were going to choose righteousness and holiness over evil and sin. And they were cast into those flames, and a fourth figure was seen walking around them because they didn't go into that fire alone. They went in with God. Christ there amongst the flames, keeping them alive. I'm not saying that we get thrown into flames and come out alive or unharmed. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood with God in the face of evil. and the king had to honor them and honor the God that kept them alive in defiance of his own honor, his own efforts. On United Flight 93, the last plane to be hijacked, the passengers quickly figured out what was going on. They got on their cell phones and they got word that three other planes had been turned into missiles, where the innocents on board were turned into unwilling participants in mass murder of innocents on the ground. And they knew that their fate was similar. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew that fire was in their future. But they decided that they were not going to stand for evil if there was something they could do for good. And if their lives were already forfeit, they would not allow that to happen at the cost of other innocents as well. And so they voted on it and made a plan to storm the cockpit, to wrestle control of the airplane away so that no further harm would be done. Todd Beamer was one of the folks on that plane. And he is famous, certainly has been famous over the last 20 years, for the last words that he spoke as he prepared to go, because he had an open phone line. And the person on the other end of the line heard him say, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." But there's a much longer conversation that took place, revealing the condition of his heart as he prepared to take a stance against the evil that they were confronted with. Because Todd Beamer was a man of faith. And just before he said those words, "Let's roll," he asked the operator on the other end of the line to pray with him. And they prayed together the Lord's Prayer. And when he had completed that prayer, he then prayed the 23rd Psalm. And there is one line that I want to leave you with on that. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And that sums it up, doesn't it? There is evil in this world on levels almost too large to conceive, but also on levels almost too small to be seen in our own hearts. There is evil in this world. And the only way to overcome it is to get right with God. And if you hear that voice today calling to you, get right with Him today. Don't put off until tomorrow, because there is no promise of tomorrow to any of us. But if you're right with God, you know that you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death in the face of all sorts of evil, because He is with you always. They tell us to never forget the events of 9/11. Never forget these words. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because you are with me." Never forget those words, and we will serve God well, no matter what the world throws at us today, the days to come. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we know that in all things it will work together for the good for those who love you and are called according to your purposes. And we may never understand that while we are alive, but you will be glorified, Father. And so I pray that if there are any of us here today who are not right with you yet, that we would seize that moment, that we would get right with you, that we would accept you as Lord and Savior, and give of ourselves fully and completely as you gave your Son on our behalf. Because if we do that, Lord, and we get right with you, there is nothing we cannot face. There is nothing we cannot confront, because our eternal destination is secure with you. So, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for giving your Son for us. We accept that gift and we praise you mightily in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we've got one song to close with.